Thursday, September the 8th, 2021. Big news day here at WWGH Radio. 17 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Glenn Coble. Do want to remind everybody very quickly, because I didn't do it during the first 2 hours, that Glenn's show, Progressive Life, will be on today, 12 to 1. Nate Redman, Offbeat News and Trivia, 4 to 5. And Trinity Baptist Church's Sunday Sermon, 6 until 7. That's the rundown today. Glenn, you got an extra few minutes in your car this morning because of the Popcorn Festival on your way over here. So tell us what you made of the whole schlamazel last night. Two-hour meeting downtown. What does that mean? It was Laverne and Shirley, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Schlamazel.
Yeah, and they were skipping down the streets.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
Okay, there you go.
Nothing.
Schlamazel.
It seemed to me, after just listening to you and having you read me the Landon statement and stuff, it seems to me that something was done wrong. We ought to quit. I really would like to see Landon stop calling names and explain his situation. I'd like to see the mayor cut back maybe on the rhetoric. Scott was, Mayor Schertzer was a little rough on him. Maybe if we could get, and that's kind of my feeling about politics, if we could get a little bit more civil to each other, maybe we could get it done. Now, I understand why the mayor was upset. Somebody was screwing with the city and he didn't like it, and that's what he should do. But then the response by Landon, it just seemed to be throwing fire back on logs back onto the fire.
Well, again, I do think Auditor Landon is listening, and if he is, and I do understand the issue with oxygen, there's I mean, don't think we're not taking that into account.
We're worried for you.
Listen, hey, you know, politics is politics, but people are people, and people are always more important than politics to me. So whatever Auditor Landon is suffering from, we hope that he gets better very soon.
Good luck.
Yes. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you know, right there at the end, Terry called in and said his previous caller proved his point.
Terry Klein, not Terry Tackett. We want to make sure we make that.
I didn't say last name, but Terry Klein.
Yeah, Terry Klein.
I'd like to know what he meant by that caller was proving his point.
I wondered that myself, yeah.
Because when he tries to make his point, he doesn't. I don't know. I just you can't really fathom what he's really talking about. He goes on, you know, in more than one direction sometimes. But how did the previous caller prove his point?
Well, I know that before we, and maybe he's out there listening, and he'll call us back. But I know you stay active in the political scene. What'd you make of the last hour and the comments by Mayor Schertzer and Ayers Ratliff and Kai Mead and Robert Landon?
Oh, I think, you know, the council members and the mayor, you know, their comments are definitely appropriate if you're worried about the city. Now, Robert Landon, he's trying to throw back that the mayor's not doing good because of a drug problem and a COVID problem and stuff, but what more can the mayor do? You want him to go door to door and force people to get vaccinations? I mean, address your problem, Robert. Don't throw the ball in somebody else's court and, you know, start talking about, you know, the other person.
And again, I do think Robert's listening this morning. And listen, it was said he's on oxygen last night, and I have no reason not to believe that. If he can call in the next 2 minutes, we will keep it as short as we possibly can. But, you know, we do want to hear his side, and, you know, that's that.
I'd like to know his side on why the books aren't balanced and, you know, take responsibility for it. You know, say, well, you know, it was a mishap on my part, but I'm going to get it fixed, and I'm going to be on top of it, and it'll be right from now on. Whatever.
Well, maybe maybe that's what he'll say. I don't know. We hope to hear from him.
Yeah.
Keep listening.
Okay,
bye-bye. 740-383-9944. So you thought the mayor's rhetoric was rough in his interview last night?
Well, no, I was really thinking of previous to last night. I think everybody's a little bit fired up, and it didn't seem political to me, which is good. I think it needs to stay out of the realm of politics right now. The thing where we're talking about not doing a good job with the COVID here in Marion has nothing to do with this situation. So I thought Mr. Landon should just leave those political firecrackers alone and talk about the situation. I think he can do that.
I was there for 2 hours. Anybody, I believe, can request a copy of it. I don't know if there's any financial, probably just the copy of the CD that they would give it to you on a flash drive or however they do it now. But it was 2 hours. It was a lot of...
Did they serve vegetables and
you know, it would have been nice if they would have had an intermission or something there last night. I don't know. But you know what? I'll tell you this. It does prove one thing. Democrat, Republican, apple or orange. People did have questions. You know, your city council was at work last night, and they were there late. So there you go.
And from what you said, it sounded like the same questions were asked over and over again. And quite often, the problem with politics is politicians want people to think they're really smart. So they keep asking questions. The more times their name is mentioned, oh, he's smart. Just ask the right question. Ask it once. Let's get to the bottom of this and quit politics when it comes down to the money of the community.
What percentage of this particular matter would you say is political, and what is actual an issue?
Well, I think it's about 80% an actual issue, but I think people are taking advantage of getting political points by lambasting other people, and I think they need to leave that alone and get to the bottom of it.
Well, you know what's interesting to me? There might be a logical reason why we're in what we're in.
There could
but
be.
We just, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory, we just haven't heard from the auditor. I mean, that's it.
And his man that was doing the... his assistant, I guess, was doing the auditing and was told it was not the correct way to do it.
That's what came of the meeting.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the auditor might dispute that. I don't know.
Well, if it was a mistake, it's a mistake. You just correct it and go on and get it right. That's it's so
well, here's the but here we are this morning after this 2-hour meeting, and the truth of the matter is, from what I can ascertain,
we don't know the truth.
Well, but nobody's saying what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's saying it was a mistake or an oversight or any. It's. I don't see that.
No, they're saying you're a bad man on both sides. The mayor is horrible. The auditor is horrible. Leave it alone. Let's just get to the bottom of it, get it right, so Marion doesn't lose the opportunities that we could easily lose.
It was interesting last night that the state auditors did say that this does happen in other cities.
Yeah.
Which I. You know. What that says, I don't know.
Well, I didn't go to the meeting, but I have no doubts in my mind that the state people did not throw rocks and stones at the two people involved.
No, the two ladies from the state were very to the point, and they even corrected a few things that were said in regard to the state's office. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one thing they did say, and again, it's all paraphrased because I don't have a transcript in front of me, but they said, we cannot fix this problem. This problem is not fixable to the dollar. So we are going to have a meeting Thursday. We're going to start where we are now, and we're going to try to get to something as best we can.
I think that's the only answer, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not going to be 100%, is pretty well what they said.
Mm-hmm.
That is not possible at this point.
As long as it's accepted by the people who are doing the grants and stuff like that, let's move on.
Well, that becomes a question as well.
Yes, it does. That's the problem.
Yeah, and we don't know about that right now.
And if it's causing the city of Marion to lose millions of dollars, we're going to have to get pretty... We're going to have to dig a little deeper, and somebody's going to have to be held responsible.
Again, phone lines are open, and again, we'd love to hear from anybody at this particular point. 740-383-9944, Kai Mead, Ayers Ratliff, the mayor, Robert Landon, anybody who'd like to call in, because you got to understand, this is what media is supposed to do. You know, people complain about the media all the time. Oh, that old media, that old liberal media, that old conservative media. Well, no, this is local media, and we are here, and the people people are out there listening. They're interested. You're not going to be edited if you call in right now. It's not planned or contrived. This is your chance to speak to a heck of a lot more people than were in that chamber last night. 740-383-9944. So there you go.
And don't drive downtown.
Yeah, that's
took me an extra 15 minutes to get to work.
Oh, I hate to bring this up. This is the real controversy in Marion right now. Now, Glenn, they'll jump all over me, but who cares?
That's all right.
Yeah, who cares?
I got broad shoulders.
I can take it. Now, every year, one of the things I like about the Popcorn Festival the best is finding out who the Grand Marshal's going to be, because we've had some great Grand Marshals over the years. Charlie Evers was a Grand Marshal. Martha Dowse was a Grand Marshal. Trella Romine was a Grand Marshal.
Orville Redenbacher's daughter was a Grand Marshal.
And I interviewed them all when they were here. So that's a big thing for me. Now, I contacted... Now, wait a second. We're going to take the call, and then we'll come back to this. Remind me of this, Glenn. Okay. Remind me of this. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. How you doing? It's Kai Mead.
Oh, Kai. How you doing?
I am pretty good. Hey, thank you for coming out to that meeting last night.
Oh, no problem. We're glad we could be there. And as I said, I'm out front this morning, but a lot of credit goes to Terry Tackett, Angie Evers, who were both there for the entire thing, and Mitch from the Marion Star, who was there for the marathon.
Fantastic having you.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is Kai Mead, First Ward City Councilman. Kai, you got Robert Landon's response this morning. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, I just think it's unfortunate that we have such a serious issue here, and the first response is to essentially just pivot and try to talk about something else. Whereas if you were actually concerned about the drug problem, you wouldn't be putting the city in a position to where we could potentially lose millions of dollars per year that could go to paying for our police, that could go to paying for our fire. But instead, we don't want to talk about the issue that's actually at hand. We're just going to try to pivot and turn this into something political. This isn't something that's political. There was Republicans that were asking questions last night. There was Democrats that were asking questions last night. At the end of the day, we should not hold a single city council person. We should not take them seriously about tearing down houses, about funding our police officers, about anything like that, if they cannot hold this office accountable. Because if we start losing money like that left and right, we can't tear down those houses. And then that hurts our police, that hurts our fire, it hurts all kinds of different entities, it hurts the jobs that we provide, it just would be devastating, potentially, to the city of Marion. And
Kai,
it's also important to keep in mind that this issue did not start 2 weeks ago. The office was made aware of this problem back in March, back in April. That when the state auditor directly told them you are not doing this correctly, and they essentially just ignored them.
Now, Kai, I do want to make the point, as you said, I was there, you were there. The state auditors did say that this happens more often than you think, things like this around the state, which I thought was an interesting statement. And there are two points last night that I think are very interesting. Number one, that somebody was, it seemed to me, and I don't want to say anything about Martin Watts, but it seems to me that the office was told by the state auditor's office back in March that this is not what we need. I thought that was an interesting point. And also the other point is that there is no paper trail, and that apparently at this point there, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the state auditor said there is absolutely no way at this point to reconcile the books as they should. We'll have a meeting tomorrow, Thursday, and we'll try to get as close as we can, something the state auditor will take, but it's not going to be exact.
Yeah, and I mean, there's different outcomes that we could have here. I hope that everything works out fine, that the city does not take a single hit, but it doesn't seem like that's what's going to happen. I mean, we could be inauditable, which means that the federal government says, if you can't tell me how much money you have and where you're putting it, I'm not going to give you any more money, which is reasonable. Reconciliation of the books is the most simple and direct task of that office, and it has not been done.
What does that, for people are not, a lot of people don't get that term, reconcile. What exactly was not done?
In layman's terms, you're essentially just balancing the books monthly. You're saying, here's the outstanding funds, this is where the money is, here's where it's going, and things like that. And you do that typically monthly. We're in a position now where it was so far bad, where it was done so incorrectly and just sometimes outright not done, that we cannot pull back that information. Because typically, 90 days is enough. Because say you miss the first one, you say, all right, we got to really got to crack down. Say you miss the second one, you really start freaking out. But most people, I can't think of a single instance, don't make it through 3 months without reconciling those books. And that's what's happened, and that's what's kind of created this mess. And now it's to the point where we can't even look into the $1.28 million issue because the books are so bad. If a taxpayer is willing, if a taxpayer is taking money out of their check to pay for services, to pay the city, then they have at least the right to know where it's going. They have the right to know what's being done with it. And right now, we cannot say that we have an accurate picture of that.
Hey, Kai, this is Glenn Coble. One of the things that I mentioned earlier is it does seem to me that we're past the politics point. We just need to correct the problem and move on. Is there a way to do that without politics?
I think that right now the situation is so serious that we cannot look at it. It's almost impossible to look at it from a political perspective.
Yeah.
Because the damage could be so great that we could be dealing with it past any of our political lifetimes.
Kai, I want to point out something, and again, this may just be an oversight, but I'm going to try to point this out. A lot last night has been made and said, even today, that we're stuck with Robert Landon, that you can't get rid of an elected official, so on and so forth. Now, I did my homework on this particular issue, and I had a conversation with Law Director Mark Russell, and this conversation happened on August the 27th, and I asked him point blank, does City Council have right to remove an elected official? And this is what Mark Russell said. He said, council does not have the power to remove an elected official. However, there is a process found in Title 7 of the ORC where a city council person can file an affidavit which indicates a statutory process for the state auditor and attorney general to investigate and prosecute the removal of a city fiscal officer, i.e. the auditor. So there is a process, and to my knowledge, nobody in Marion on City Council has done this.
Yeah, and I think that there's kind of a lot of council members holding their breath to see how this meeting on Thursday goes, because we kind of heard two different stories. We heard a story from the auditor's office that this is fixable, and we heard a story from the state auditors that said this information is gone.
Yeah.
It's just gone. Like, we can't pull it back. And so we're hoping to get a clear picture on Thursday, but at this point, I would say there's probably nothing off the table, and I think especially because we know from that office, you're going to hear everything thrown at the wall saying, oh, this is just a witch hunt, this is just that. Guess what? That state auditor's office is about as nonpartisan as it gets, and it's headed by a Republican. The attorney general's office, about as nonpartisan as it gets, and it's headed by a Republican. So I don't know what someone would say to that, especially because at this point, even on council, you're starting to have new council members start to press and ask questions. And it's Republicans like Jason Schauber, who said that this is bad from the beginning. And then there's newer council members like Joshua Feliciano, who's also a Republican, who's sitting there saying, you know, something's wrong here. There's too many. You can tell that there's almost a want to be able to say, well, you know, it was the previous administration, this and that. But because we had the state auditor there, and because we had everyone else there, we were able to say, no, you know, everything was going great. The last books that were done by the deputy auditor from previous administration was getting an award. And now here we are just a year later, unable to even turn in a paper. It's like in school when you try to turn in that book report, and the book report's so bad, the teacher says, I'm not even going to take that.
You know, Kyan, I'm just going to ask you point blank, and again, we don't know what's going to happen in that meeting tomorrow, but what we do know is after the two-hour meeting last night, we heard what the state auditors said, we heard what the bonding, I don't want to say agent because I know he said that's not the correct term, but the person who carries the bonds, representative for the auditor and the deputy auditors was there, and so was the person who ran the IT program for the office. Now, but it kept being said that he's elected and he's there till the end of the term. Again, not true. According to Mark Russell, an affidavit can be filed by any city council member to the state. If, just knowing what we know last night, I mean, is this something you are willing or thinking of doing at this point?
Yeah, like I said, I think there's nothing that's going to be off the table at this point, especially if the Thursday meeting comes back and we just get more of the same from the state auditors saying, you know, this is going to be pretty dang, this is going to be bad. Because, you know, there's a lot of bad outcomes and there's only one potential good one. And honestly, the good one still raises questions, even if they do get this worked out, as to, you know, why has it been this long before someone decided to start doing the most basic function of the office? And I think another thing to keep in mind is, let's not forget that the job of the person who that Perry Payne position that we talked about sat vacant for months.
Let me ask you this, Kai, because I want to check this, and I'm not. I hope you pick up on what I'm going to say. When Perry, what was the gentleman's name? Perry.
Perry Payne.
Perry Payne. Okay, when Perry left in March. Apparently, he had some parting words, was my understanding, about the auditor's office. Were you aware of this?
I have no clue.
Okay, I'm not.
Stay out of that kind of stuff, and I think I'm probably better off for it.
Yeah, well, I understand that. So, but basically, just so people have an indication here, this meeting's going to happen tomorrow, and we keep talking about resignation, and everybody feels he's not going to do that. And after this morning, it's clear from his statement, I don't think that's going to happen. So there is a process to remove an elected official who apparently is not doing great things. Is this a big enough an issue, if it cannot be resolved to the penny, that you, a city council person, would file for a removal with the state?
I think it's not about it being filed to the penny. I think it's about it being filed so poorly, or not being able to file at all, that we're starting to cost the city more money. Because you have to remember, even with this $1.27 million issue, we've already been fined $60,000. And that's only part of that fine. And so, at this point, I mean, we could take... It seems like the goal is to just let this drag across the finish line, and that would be the best case scenario. That could still lead to interest hikes. That could still lead us to not being eligible for certain federal funding. And so think about it. Think if your big issue as a voter is flooding, and the city of Florida gets a loan for $25 million, $30 million, or something like that. And because of our bad audit report, our interest rate rises 2%.
Yeah.
That's a massive increase in taxpayer dollars, all because someone wasn't doing the most basic function of the job.
Does anybody know if that process has ever been done to get rid of an auditor?
I don't think so in Marion, but I'm sure it's happened in around Ohio. I think Galleon had a similar instance of like this, where the auditor did end up getting removed.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think that Marion has to set the record, has to be willing to do the right thing, regardless of the political stance. Regardless of the political stances, because in reality, if he's not there, it's not like Democrats get to pick who's there. The party does. I'm not asking for the office to switch parties. I'm asking for competency.
Well, what is the correct thing right now? I mean, we've talked about the fines that have been levied toward the city at this point. We've talked about the state auditors last night saying it's going to be the best it's going to be, but it's not going to be as complete as it could because the information's gone. I mean, is this the step that needs to be taken at this point? Because I think what the listeners and the public are hearing and will see in newspaper articles is people saying, this is awful, this is awful, this is awful, and we're having a two-hour meeting, and there is a process to remove him, but nobody's doing it.
Well, you know, like I said, I think that, you know, if it's what we decide to do, we want to make sure that it's done right, because the worst thing that could happen is someone who is legitimately not doing their job somehow get off on a technicality or something like that.
Yeah, you got to cross the T's and dot the I's.
Yep, and I think that we have to wait for all the information to be out there completely. Let's wait for the Thursday meeting, because like I said, there was conflicting information from the deputy auditor and the state auditor. But it does not look good. It didn't look good 2 weeks ago, and it's looking worse now.
What about the final question, what about the $2.5 million? You know, we had talked about a deadline of September 30th. I heard September 30th again last night. When does the $2.5 million that runs the transit, that runs the senior center, that pays for police and fire, when does this go into jeopardy?
I think that you'd start to see the fiscal effects probably at the beginning of the next budget year, when all of a sudden that money is no longer there. Because really what this comes down to is when the federal government or the state is saying, hey, here's money to help you do this. to do A or to do B. Here's money so you can hire more police officers, so you can run the senior transportation. They don't want you to have a report that says, well, we can't really tell you where money is or where it's not.
What is the deadline for the filing for that money?
Is that the September 30th date that we keep hearing? I mean, when does something have to be done? Because I heard Martin Watts say last night, he was asked point blank by several people I remember, when do you think you might have this done or in some form to submit to the state auditor? And he did not know. When do we cross the $2.5 million deadline where we're not going to get that money and we are going to see it next year?
I believe one of the deadlines is September 30th.
So it is September 30th, okay.
But there's a working deadline between the auditor's office and the state auditor to see what can actually be done with this, and that's why this Thursday meeting had quite a few different entities in it to say, like, what can we do to kind of not stop the harm, but to mitigate it.
Well, when you know something tomorrow, Kai, let us know.
Will do.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kai.
Bye-bye. First Ward City Councilman Kai Mead. So there's some more information for you. And again, the phone lines are open. Robert Landon, anybody from his office, anybody in general who wants to call in, feel free. There have been more developments this morning. You know, we got a response from Auditor Landon, and this is the way it goes. 740-383-9944. It's what they call a kerfluffle. But let me get back to the Popcorn Festival here for a second, then we can come back to this. So I want to know who the Grand Marshal is for the 40th Popcorn Parade. And this is going to get me in trouble. But I messaged them on Facebook and I emailed them because I didn't know what was the best way to contact them. And on Facebook, they responded and said, "We don't know yet." Now, this is Tuesday night. The parade's tomorrow.
I'm going to be it.
Now, and then the email came back and said, we're narrowing it down. Now, this is Tuesday night. Monday night. It was Monday night this all happened. 2 days away from the parade that happens tomorrow. So I said to them the email, I said, well, you know, maybe I haven't been home and I didn't get the phone call that you want me. Kidding. But I gave them some choices. You know who I thought would make a great Grand Marshal?
Who's
they
that?
Don't care what I think. But I'm going to tell you anyway, Glenn. Mayor Kellogg.
Oh, yeah.
Mayor Kellogg is the only other living mayor, except Ron Malone, who doesn't live here anymore. He is still the longest-serving mayor in Marion history for 16 years. He still lives in Marion.
Yeah, not too far from me.
Why would you not make Mayor Kellogg the great... I'd be perfect.
I think that's a great idea. Mayor Kellogg, you and me.
Yeah, me and you. I don't want to tell these people how to do their job at the Popcorn Festival, but that's who I think it should be.
All right, that's a good suggestion.
Or you could go, and I told him you'd go the celebrity route, and I think Ted Williams would do it.
Yeah.
He's been a kind of an adopted citizen of Marion.
Yeah.
So I gave him two options. And I'm free Thursday night. If you need me, I'll come down there, and I'll, you know, this was the year of Bill Cosby.
I have
these
done
pinheads in Boston seem to think I'm... Hey, pinheads in Boston, if you're out there listening, there's a job for you. Tomorrow night's parade, let's get the Grand Marshalship done. They were supposed to get some kind of... October 1st was supposed to be Scott Spears Day here in Marion. Because I figured I'd give these pinheads in Boston a job to do.
And they didn't get it done?
I don't know what they got. They bellyached on Friday about this and that. Go ahead, caller.
What is a Grand Marshal?
Well, it's the person you're honoring who sits in the first car of the parade.
Oh.
That's all they do.
And wave a lot.
Yeah, wave. You gotta learn
that. You sit in a car and wave, and you're honoring them.
Yeah, you gotta learn the queen wave.
No, it's an honor to be a Grand Marshal
of
a parade.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't mocking you. I was just inquisitive because I thought, well, what is a Grand Marshal?
Actually, no, but who would you pick?
I actually think you had a really good suggestion. Yes.
Yeah, I think Mayor Kellogg would be good. And if these pinheads in Boston could get off their can.
You know, he gave me the best compliment. I was on an elevator at City Hall once with my kids. I don't know what I was even doing up there, but...
Did you have your bus with you on the elevator? Never mind.
What?
Nothing.
Glenn's trying to be funny, but there's always it's always a problem.
Okay, well, anyway... I had my kids with me, and they were like little, like, stair steps, like, you know, four of them, back to back. and everyone was being good that day, and Mayor Kellogg said, "You're doing a good job with them, Mom. Keep up the good work." And that had to have been, I don't know, going on 20 years, 15, 20 years ago, and I still remember that.
And they haven't been good ever since, right?
Right. That's a perfect follow-up to that. You're exactly right, Glenn. But that day, for whatever reason, they decided to be good. Everyone was, like, you know, just being calm and...
Cool.
Which is the complete opposite of our norm, but he complimented me on that, and I was so proud.
Mayor Kellogg, you know, Republican, Democrat, orange or apple, anybody who ever met Mayor Kellogg as a human being would like him. He's just that type of guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just had that encounter with him on the elevator, but I thought that was pretty nice. That, I mean, he could have just took his elevator ride with all of us and, you know, not acknowledged us, but he complimented me on how well-behaved my children were, and I thought, aw, that's, you know.
Did you know who he was at the time?
Huh?
Did you know who he was at the time?
Oh, yeah. Like, everybody knew of him.
Yeah. Hey, well, thank you. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Okay. Doodles.
Bye-bye. And Mayor Kellogg's still here.
Yeah.
And Marion.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, why not?
Yeah. I drive by his house every day.
And he was, you know, I remember him as mayor, and I was on the air when he was mayor, and he just, there never, that guy, when you called him to do something, he did it. I mean, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air, but maybe it's a morning where I should bear doing it. We were doing a variety show down at the Harding Hotel, and I can't remember, we were honoring Madge Cooper, who was a radio legend here in Marion, and the day was supposed to be named for her as a surprise, and the mayor was going to come down and name the day for Madge Cooper. And I'll get back to, remind me of this. This is a good story. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, I was wondering, are you going to be broadcasting any of the bands at the festival?
You know, I don't know yet. There's some question of that. We would like to do some of the local things. The main stage, I would doubt.
That's a shame. I'd love to hear the tribute band rumors.
Tomorrow night. Well, you never know. Tune in here about 7. You never know. It could happen.
Okay, about 7?
I think that's when the band starts, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So, we're honoring Madge Cooper, and I'd already talked to Mayor Kellogg about naming the day for her. Well, Mayor Kellogg's wife at the time was very ill with cancer, so we probably set this up. The event was in November. We probably set it up in late August. The week of the event was on a Thursday night, Mayor Kellogg's wife died on Tuesday, and I thought, well, this, he ain't coming. Clearly. And no surprise that he wouldn't. So I called down to City Hall, and I left a message, and I said, is there any way we could just get the proclamation and condolences to the mayor, and we'll read it in his absence and let people know why he's not here? And the lady said, oh, yes, absolutely. We'll have somebody bring it up that night to you at the event. So it's 7 o'clock. We're getting ready to start. You know who brought it?
Mayor
Kellogg.
Yeah.
Mayor Kellogg stayed the entire event, got up, presented it to Madge, and he didn't have to do that.
I've told my story about the first time I met the mayor on the air before, but just a short version of it. I was brand new here in town. I thought I ought to introduce myself to the mayor. I went to the mayor's office. Didn't seem like there was anybody there, but there was an older gentleman laying on the couch out in the foyer. And I said, is the mayor around? And he said, yes. I said, can I talk to him? He said, you are.
Well, and Mayor Kellogg, I remember, used to have kids after school who didn't have a place to go come to his office and work on homework.
Cool.
That happened. Yep. So, you know, Mayor Kellogg's a very good guy, and the fact that he has not been Grand Marshal of the Popcorn Parade.
Oh, he should be, yeah.
He should
be. A good idea.
Absolutely right. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything, any question. Who would be a good Grand Marshal? Mayor Kellogg's obviously a good choice, but is there anybody else in Marion who you could think would be deserving of this honor? Because apparently they're in a pickle down at the popcorn. I wonder how that happened, that they just...
Slipped their mind.
Well, you might need a Grand Marshal.
After COVID, they probably had way too many things to deal with and think about. I'm going to give them credit for that. But I'll tell you what, when I was the guy that got Orville Redenbacher's daughter to come be the Grand Marshal, because my wife and I lived in Valparaiso, and Orville was my father's parishioner. He went to my dad's church. So I contacted her and got her to do it. We have been on Facebook ever since, and she was so overwhelmed with the response that she got from the Marian people that she couldn't quit talking about it the whole year. Yeah. So
right.
They take that as a very big honor, even though it's a one-day thing.
There have been 39 of them, and like I say, there have been Flippo the Clown, and Bob Nunnally has done it, and Charlie did it, and Martha, and I believe Madge was the Grand Marshal at one point. So it's a very exclusive club at this point of 39 people, and I don't think that should be taken lightly or sullied.
No, I don't either.
I don't think you just throw somebody in.
No.
And say, oh, there you go, Grand Marshal. I think that's sad if that's what's happened, because it used to be a very big honor. And maybe it still is. I don't know.
Well, you and I were kind of teasing about you and I being the Grand Marshal, but we were genuinely teasing. It is a big honor, especially having talked with Orville's daughter. She was overwhelmed that we asked her to be the
Well, and maybe it could be that they were just throwing me off the scent. Maybe this is a big political story. They didn't want to tell me who the Grand Marshal was. But I found that odd, that on Monday night of a Thursday parade, they couldn't answer that.
One would think, right after they decide who they're going to book as the bands, they would know who they were going to have as the Grand Marshal. I would think that would be one of the early things that they do.
I just hope it's not one of those self-congratulatory things where, it's let's get somebody who's important to the Popcorn Festival.
Make the entire Popcorn Festival committee the Grand Marshals.
Well, didn't that happen once?
Oh, I hope not.
I might have.
Oh, okay.
Or a certain group.
Okay.
Which, whatever. Do what you want to do. I'm not involved with it. But I don't know.
I was involved with it for about 5 years, and I enjoyed it immensely. But there's a lot of self-serving that goes on in that group.
Well, I just think Mayor Kellogg's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That's my two cents. And I believe Mary Ellen Withrow has been the Grand Marshal as well.
I think so. If not, she should be there.
Yeah. Absolutely. In her 90th year.
Yeah.
She wouldn't like me saying that.
Oh, it's not her 90th year.
No, 30th.
She's 50.
30th. Yeah. We'll go even better. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz on any of these topics. 740-383-9944. Well, maybe the Boston Pinheads went to sleep. They were still here yesterday. They called me off the air.
Okay.
But they know they failed at their task of making October 1st Scott Spears Day here in Marion. So now they've kind of tucked their tails and went to bed.
They called me in my show last week after you had left.
Oh, what did they say?
I didn't give them enough time to say much.
They don't really have a whole lot to say at this point.
He just wondered what we were talking about today. Well, I said, I told him what we were talking about, and okay, that's good. Is Scott there? No.
Well, I saw the mayor last night, and he did not bring anything up about October 1st, Scott Spears Day, so I'm going to say that it hasn't been... They're not getting it done.
They haven't asked me whether I'll vote for or against it. I'll have to do some deep thinking.
Is that a vote? Will that end up on the ballot?
Yeah.
We'll have to put a special ballot out for that one. Big election coming up here. All city council members will be up for re-election, less than 2 months now?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
A lot of big political things going on right now, and we'll be talking about it on my show.
There you go. 740-383-9944. 56 minutes past the hour. Any thoughts on anything going on? Oh, I want to thank the guys yesterday from Great Race Pizza. Oh, I did get an honor yesterday. They brought dough, and I became the first person to autograph a piece of dough.
Oh, fantastic.
And he's going to take it back. The author of Three Pies Hot is going to take it back to Columbus and shellac it and send me a picture of this.
It's the beginning of the Tony Paco's pizza.
That's right.
Thing.
And I'm number one.
Yeah.
It's very hard to autograph a piece of pizza dough because the pizza dough's crumbling.
Did you use a pencil or
a big black marker?
Oh, okay.
I don't know how it came out, but we did it. And I'll put that in the obituary. He autographed a piece of dough. But boy, was it good pizza.
It's
heard
better
that
than
from
being called a piece of dough.
George Kasotis was here yesterday, and one of our listeners was here yesterday, and Angie and Jeannie and a bunch of people in their family got some of this pizza.
You had a party.
But it was very, very good pizza. I'm sorry they're out of business, but I'm talking to them at this point about catering our Christmas party, because we always have pizza.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great to have their pizza?
It would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there would be no sponsorship because they're not in business.
Do they still have a big oven where they can do it?
Well, he made the pizzas yesterday. He made four of them. Yeah, so, I mean, he'd have to make probably about 10, but that's fine.
Better get on it, right?
Better get on it. Tis the season.
You should have
saw these. You should have saw these hats that they wore. They look. You've seen the red checkered tablecloths.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
Okay,
and it's like a beanie type of hat. I wish they had two. I would want one of those to display in the studio. That was the most unique looking hat.
That'd be cool.
I've ever seen, or an apron, or something like that. Bob Welsh. How could I forget his name? Bob Welsh. He was just here yesterday. Names sometimes just go up in the head.
Oh, well, it'll get worse.
Yeah, but those guys couldn't have been Eric Warren and Bob Welsh yesterday. Could not have been nicer. They gave us more copies of the book to give away. We already gave away, too, to George Kasotis and one of our listeners yesterday who wanted a copy. We have a few more to give, the gold editions of those books. So it's very nice. We appreciate them big time. And autographing that pizza dough was a lot of fun. Oh, and very quick, and we might talk about this next hour. And I don't want to come down on these darn Cardinals, but there's one in City Hall, by the way.
Yep.
There's one in City Hall. When I was there last night, it's in City Hall.
I wondered that there wasn't one out front.
Well, there's one in.
Okay.
In City Hall. And here's my thing at this point. I was over in Sunbury on the weekend, and they have a Johnny Appleseed statue. Now, Johnny Appleseed did not live or anything in Sunbury, but people know Johnny Appleseed, and that is a go. It's right in their square.
Yeah, I saw your picture of it.
That's what we need here, some colloquial folk hero like that. Now, that Cardinals, and I'm not saying it, people get very defensive about this Cardinal thing.
Really?
But, oh, yeah. But anyway, you know, leave the Cardinals, let them stay, but let's take a colloquial folk hero and put them. I bet you more people go to that statue and more people want to visit it. We've got tons of those people in Ohio.
We could duplicate the one that they have. You wouldn't want to duplicate it, but you could do it one similar to the one they have in Valparaiso, Indiana, of Orville Redenbacher sitting on a bench. It's really, and people always go there and sit down and put their arm around Orville and stuff like that.
You know, Chef Boyardee came from Cleveland.
Yeah, that's cool.
There you go. Who else do we have here in Ohio who would have, you know, Dr. Henry Heimlich was in Cincinnati.
Okay.
These aren't folk heroes?
I don't think anybody would know who that was.
You don't think more people know the Heimlich maneuver than Orville Redenbacher?
Oh, no. I think Orville Redenbacher is known by everybody.
I think a few people have got Heimlich'd.
Yes.
We're going to break. Think about it. 15 minutes. Come back with us.
Spread out themselves like vanity, insatiate cormorants. Consuming means soon preys upon the soul. And we go on, this royal throne of kings, this sceptered isle, this earth of Mars. Yes, I did Shakespeare and I retained the dialogue.
To Emmy Award-winning star of Picket Fences, Five-ish Finkel.
Hey, if I were a rich man, he-a-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b- man. I wouldn't have to wake up if I were a bitty bitty rich. I did man. I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. I don't want to sing anymore. I'm going to pay me.
I love it, Five-ish.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking Like.
programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050. Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website williamsgrasscutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Adam Media and Adam the Computer Guy are a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, offering remote and on-site technical support, network setup, and computer troubleshooting for homes and businesses. Website pctech.biz or adamthecomputerguy.com. Telephone number 740-531-2326. Also available mobile notary services in Central and Mid-Ohio.
We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. In 1886, three newspapers operated in the town, including the Marion Star, with Warren G.